So I can just start while the remaining problems are being fixed here. Maybe a few words about me in the first place, because not everyone may know me. I'm using TCL, and I say TCL and not Tickle, since roughly 1998, I think it was about that time, I discovered that language, and I got hooked, and I have never looked back since, and have used it. I use it nearly daily, although I don't have a formal education in IT or programming. I'm a marine biologist by profession and work for a company that does work in this field, but being a marine biologist doesn't mean that you don't need to program at times. And it's actually the case that we have a lot of stuff in the company where we are working that needs some computation of large data sets, whatever, and some of the applications you will hear about tomorrow. But what is that for all this time, I benefited from having that programming language and using it, and I always thought I need to give something back to the community. People are also always helping out, and I should do something. And since I'm not a core C programmer, I can do a bit of C, but not too much, I thought it would be a good idea to help on that front here. And I already tried this once in 2006, roughly, where I looked at the TCL webpage and found it was a bit outdated, but I never really got time to continue that. But there's an old wiki page about what I started back then. But, well, that's me. And Steve Landis, last time on the TCL conference, he already initiated this, so this is not my baby that we should do this update of the manual pages. But this is mostly his initiative and his ideas that started last year that got me thinking that I could help out here. And the ultimate goal is not just to look at the manual pages, which is just one part of the documentation of the language, but actually try to improve the whole public perception and the image of TCL and TK, because I think the community gets smaller and smaller, and people do not really pick that up. And every time I go to clients and they ask me, what programming language are you using for your project? And I see TCL and they have a big question mark in their head and they don't know why not Python? Why not X, Y, Z, something? And it's always hard to tell them that this is actually a very good thing to use. So maybe we can help with that too. So what is the current state of the manual pages? You probably know them all. And you can see them in a browser, in a HTML version, or on your terminal. And the source of all this is nrof, which is a quite old markup language, so to say, that was invented in times where we had line printers and terminals. And you see it if you look at the markup language, that it is not designed for the systems that we use today, typically, when we do documentation. So the TCL and TK manual pages use 31 different of those nrof commands or macros, and 21 of them, I think roughly 21, difficult to count exactly actually, are custom macros that are in a specific file and that are used then in processing the content. And there are limitations to the system. First is the obscure syntax, which is very difficult to read. And these macros, if you look at those definitions, it's just like a forest of backslashes with some extra characters. It's very difficult to read. And another thing from the content type point of view is that it has only two levels of outlines. So if you look at typical documents, you have section numbers, subsections, paragraphs, and have varying levels there. And we only have this .sh, which is a section header, and ss, which is subsection. And there's nothing more than that. And there are pages in the TCL manual pages that need more than that. And they are getting faked by just putting some indentation in and some bold font and trying to kind of simulate this third level, but that of course is not a very nice way to do it. And mostly also it's nrof is kind of visual markup. So you tell it indent this by 13 whatever pixels or what, and then go down and then right here and make tap stops here. So there's it's quite low level. So it's not that you can actually make semantic markup, which you would like to do when you want to concentrate on the content. And here's an example of what it looks like. This is the beginning of the page documenting the array command, the TCL array command. So in the beginning, the first few lines are comments, and then it starts off with this .th, which is the header line, and this is already a redefined nrof macro that was redefined for our purpose, where you have a list of things that you provide there. The first is the name of the command, then which section it goes into, and then a version number, which I couldn't find out what this actually means, because the array command is not from version 8.7. It's much, much older, but maybe this is the last time it was changed. Maybe it is the last time some new option came into the command. Many of those pages actually lack that number. It's not there anyway, so it's difficult to find out what that is about. And TCL, of course, is because it's a TCL command, and then it belongs to a section called TCL built-in commands. And this is like it goes. So you always have kind of lines that begin with a dot, meaning that some kind of macro, and the next line, .so, man macros, loads a macro file that is specific for the TCL manual pages and uses that. And then it goes on with all kinds of stuff. And the lines that are not starting with a dot, like these here, this is just text. So pp is a new paragraph, and then the paragraph starts. And this is the only thing that is normal text, so to say. But even there, you'll find things like this doing italics and there's also bold font, and there are different other things going on. So this is how it looked like. And if you try to edit those, you need to know all the macros and the meanings of those in order to not produce an nrof file that won't render in the end. And this is all very difficult, and it's not very nice to look at. So the only nice thing to look at is when it gets rendered in the terminal. Then it looks like this. And of course, yeah, that's nice. That's good. And it's just very difficult to write in those sources. At least I found it. And it is a hurdle to new people that may come into play here that want to help out with documentation. And if they do not know nrof, they have a hard time starting and helping out here. This is how it looks like in the HTML version. It's pretty much the same as this one, apart from a kind of a table of contents that goes in and is automatically created. It's a script in the core repository of TCL that does this job of converting. It actually reads the nrof sources and builds HTML from that. But otherwise, it's exactly the same. And well, the layout of this always reminds me of the at least 1990s, 1980s something. It's hard to read. It's long, long lines. Typically what you have in books, when you have books, the people, the publishing company will always make sure that you have not much more than kind of 10, 12 words in a line, and you can start counting here. This is a very long line. And with our new screens that we have displays and large displays and small print, this is not very easy to read for normal people. You tend to lose track of the lines where you are. And then all kinds of other things. So this is the current state, and the idea was that we should do something about it, get it to be more modern looking, more easy to be maintained and to be expanded, and to do more stuff with it than we can do now. So that was why TIP 700 is now in place. So it's someone found it nice to have a round number for this TIP, so it was 700. I don't know if Jan actually made this TIP 699 just because he wanted this one to be 700, I don't know. At least the tip is about proposing Markdown as the language to be instead of nrf. And the reason is mainly, from my personal point of view, it's because I know Markdown very well. So I have an easy, it's easy for me. But actually, Markdown was designed as being easy to learn, easy to read, and easy to write. It should look like a document that you could read in the source without getting distracted too much by what nrf has with these dots and backslashes and all the kind of thing. And it also is widely adopted. So there are many editors around where you can write Markdown and it gets syntax highlighting. So you get nicely visual feedback. Oh, this is a header line. Oh, this is italics and this is bold and so on. And also, Markdown is mostly, I would say, semantic markup. So it doesn't tell you much about how this will be rendered when you convert this to HTML. And this can most often be flexibly decided during the rendering. One additional benefit is that because TCL and TK are hosted in Fossil and Fossil knows Markdown, you can actually view Markdown files rendered as HTML inside the Fossil web browser. It will not do anything because it's just a limited subset of what all kinds of flavors of Markdown can do, but the most basic ones are there. I also considered alternatives to Markdown. I looked at DocTools and ASCII.doc in particular. In the end, I thought they were not so good. DocTools, for example, it's much more like a kind of a programming instead of a markup in terms of text, because it uses the square brackets to say what it wants to say, because it's TCL commands in the end, TCL commands in the end. And this is not as clean as I would like to have it. But there would be no problem also putting out DocTools markup instead of Markdown, because the conversion script that I'm working could actually do that if that would be needed, or if we could have a need for that. But I think in the end, Markdown was the most easy to use here. And this is what we are then doing. And I'm now having a conversion script that is, it's kind of 90% ready, I would say. Because it's difficult to say, because we have these 427 pages that need to be converted. And you need to look at every page to see, has every corner case been caught where you use some particular nrf markup. But we are coming there slowly and steadily. And this conversion script is written in TCL, and it takes actually the nrf sources, reads them line by line, and first converts them in some kind of abstract syntax tree. And this abstract syntax tree is then taken into another procedure, which then spits out Markdown. And it could actually just plug in a new other procedure, and then it could spit out HTML as such. But that's something for later. So for HTML, we kind of use an external tool now, which is Pandoc. Pandoc is a document converter, which converts between many, many different kinds of markup languages and also binary formats. This also means that we are using Pandoc's Markdown, the Markdown flavor that they use in their system for the markup here. And we use YAML blocks at the beginning of the Markdown files to store information that is metadata, and that should be not rendered. One thing that is typically rendered now are the copyrights on every single page. And if you go to the overview page, the list of copyrights is nearly larger than the actual content. This is a bit disturbing. I think we should rather put them in one specific place and then just link to them instead of having them on every page. But of course, this is information that is in the manual page now, so this is put in those metadata blocks, and also keywords, links, and which section it belongs to. So it's all metadata. It shouldn't be rendered as such, or you should be able to flexibly decide whether it should be rendered in one output format and not in another output format, for example. Then we want to enhance the markdown with the links, which are not there in the NRuf, but they are there in the rendered HTML, and this is the conversion script that does that currently. But we can take that mechanism from that script into our conversion and then make sure that we have those links directly in the markdown sources already, which makes it much, much easier to maintain in future and also doesn't get lost when you have a new version of text, because it tries this conversion script now goes through the text and it tries to detect places in the NRuf that could be links and then just turns them into links, but it doesn't cover everything that we want to have. But we want to have links within one page and also, of course, across pages. And in the end, when we are so far and the tip gets accepted, then it would be time to remove the NRuf files from the repository and put the markdown instead there, and also, of course, remove the HTML production scripts, and then this will be exchanged by a new way of doing it. So this is a side-by-side comparison now. On the left side, you see what you saw before, which is the NRuf source of the array command, and on the right time is what it currently would look like if you would apply the conversion script. So you have the YAML metadata block here, up here, which is telling exactly the same things that are encoded here in this TH macro. So which version, which part of Tickle it belongs to, a description, and then in the manual pages down below is a section with the links to other related commands. This can be put in here, and the keywords can put in here, and the copyrights. So this is all things that you can decide when turning the markdown to some other format, if you want that rendered in the output or not. And then it has the typical markdown syntax here. And since I did that in an editor, you have some syntax highlighting here, so the section headings and all this. And I hope you can see already from this tiny example, this is much more readable than the left side. And this alone, I think, is worth all the effort, because it makes it much, much easier to actually edit the text and put content into this, and this is what we want to do. But we're not stopping there. So, of course, it's not enough to have the markdown in the source repository. We want to have the HTML version. We want to have an HTML version that is much nicer to look at than the one that we have now. And this is also something that we are working on. For the time being, we will use the pandoc utility to produce the HTML. But in the long run, of course, it should be that we eat our own dog food and make it TCL script that does this work for us. And I think the markdown module in TCLlib is a good candidate to be able to do that. It just needs some expansion with some markdown constructs that are not included there. And then, but we are actually producing NRuf again from markdown. And why is that? That's because people flagged up and said, oh, I love my terminal, and I want to read those in the terminal, those manual pages still. And we said, yeah, why not? Panda can do this. So the markdown source is then, of course, just fed into a pandoc line, and then you get NRuf from that, and that will work out of the box with pandoc. And we can always go in that later, put some filters, some additional things into there to make it better than it is right now. And then the idea is to distribute the HTML and the NRuf together with the source distributions so that people don't need to install pandoc in the first place in order to have that. And later, when we have that, when we can get rid of pandoc, we can, of course, do it like it is now, that there's a script in the repository that in the source that can do the job for you. And the HTML output, there are two other people here, Sean Kulesa and Maxim Tsingchenko, if I pronounce that correctly, that are working on the HTML output part. This is kind of a floating target because the markdown is still not there where it needs to be to produce nice visual layout. So But anyway, here's a comparison of the NRF side. So this is the NRF that you saw before, which is the one that you get currently. And if you take the markdown that I show you and feed it into Panda, this is what you get instead. It's very close. And I think if it's something like this, I hope it will be okay for those that will want to read that on terminals. I'm not sure if having those lines here is so important, but we can always try to find out. This is probably something that is in the manual macros from TCL, and we can probably apply at least part of it. But NRF is not the core functionality that is supported with Pandag. I think other formats are more important, but they are very responsive. If we talk to the Pandag people, they will probably help us out if we need something here. And the HTML side, as I said, is not really there yet. What I can show you now is an experiment that I did before I took on this here. Already a few years ago, I thought, it doesn't look nice. Couldn't we do it a bit nicer? And I played around with a bit of CSS to make it a bit visual more pleasing, have it squeezed also horizontally so the lines are not so long anymore, and having this here as a table of contents on the left side and not on the top, and all this. These are ideas that are coming into play later when we do the actual HTML output. One idea that we have here is that I would like to break this up here and put it into a more distinct outline. Because if you click on TCL commands, you get a list. And in this list, it's not only TCL commands. It's also manual pages about variables. It's different things that are mixed together. And I would like to break this up so that you really have everything about TCL variables in one section, and the TCL commands in one section, and the math functions, which are not commands either, also in a section by themselves, so it's easier to find around and find the things you're looking for. And we can always discuss whether this is the most sensible distinction, but that would be an idea to make it more accessible and easy to navigate. But we should go even further than that, and this is something that is beyond the current tip, because I think we need something like a guideline how to write such a manual page. If you look at the manual pages right now, you will find that they are inconsistent in terms of the wording, for example. One thing is that a TCL command is a word, and then often it's another word that is fixed. And this other word, the second word, sometimes it's called subcommand, sometimes it's called option, sometimes it's called method. And this is not consistent. And for newcomers coming to that language, they will be confused by this and will ask themselves, okay, this is not a subcommand, so what does it mean when it's an option instead of a subcommand? And these are things that we should write into a how-to page, so that people use the very same terms, they have the very same kind of basic outline of the manual page, so they can work like in a cookbook kind of way and have a manual page that is like the others and fit into the others. Another thing is that all those subcommands or options or what you call them, they are currently in the NRF, they are so-called tagged paragraphs or indented paragraphs. And those, both of them are more or less the same. And they are now converted to what is called definition lists and markdown. But that's not ideal either, because every one of those tends to have multiple paragraphs. Some of them have code inside also, or tables. And this means that actually, looking from above, from a bird's eye view, I think every of those subcommands should be in its own subsection. And then you automatically, when it is a subsection, get an entry in the table of contents automatically, because it's a section and not an item in a list. And by certain changes like this, I think we can make them visually more pleasing and more easy to read. In some manual pages, there are links to tips, but they are only in the end of comments. They're not rendered anywhere. I think it would be nice to expose them, so people that want to read more on the background of a specific command or the rationale or whatever can find the link there and click on the link and get directed to that tip page where they can read about this more. I would like to have a history section that tells something about the versioning, the evolution of those commands. When did it first occur? When did that option occur? And all these things. They are especially important when you work with different TCL versions, and if you can't remember yourself, can I use that option or can't I? Was it introduced in 8.6.13 or 12, or what version do I have here? And I think that would be very helpful to have. We can extract this information from many sources. And then, of course, content. One example that I tend to give is that many of these manual pages, they have small examples of how to use those functions. Others have no examples at all. Some have one example, but it's a very complicated one. So this could be made much easier. And finally, there's more to be done. For example, we could, from those markdown pages, write a script that produces cheat sheets from this. Small pages with just the basic syntax. And you may remember this one that was published many, many years ago. Mine is actually like this, after all. And it's outdated now, but I really would like to have an updated version of this. That's a wonderful reference. If you just want to read about the syntax, what was this option called, and things like that. Maybe we could produce an updated version of that one from the markdown pages in a way. That would be a very, very nice thing. Translation into other languages would be nice also. Currently, they're only in English. Why not translate at least the most important ones also into other languages? And finally, we are back to 2006, where I started looking at the tcllang.org, which is still looks outdated. And if you watch this, the conference that we're having today is not mentioned there. What is mentioned there is an announcement for the conference from last year. And this is, of course, nothing that we can keep on having like this. So it would be good to update that also. But that's beyond tip 100, 700 in the long run, but I think I'll try to keep this running. So thanks for now.
Any questions?
No, thank you very much for your speech, very good. I want just to say one thing. I am very simple user of TCL, and when I want to know one function, I need two main things on website. First, it's a very big searching box. I write one term, and immediately I have documentation of this. But I needn't to have what version, what upgrade, or like this. I want to have example of how to write this function.
Yeah.
And it's all. For me, it's the main.
Thank you. One point what was, I think, not stressed enough is indexing. So that's a point of the search. Mm-hmm. Currently, the indexing is done if a word is written in capitals. So you have seen all the names, and so before there was in capitals, and they're in small, and some things are in capitals. So that's at the moment a sign, this one is to index. And of course, we have to get rid of that. What was the second?
First of all, thank you for the great work you have been doing on this. I was not aware of all of it, at least. One question about the HTML generation. Do you plan on integrating stuff like, for example, syntax highlighting? Because, I mean, basically all project documentation that I've seen on libraries and languages, it's often much worse than a TCL documentation in terms of examples. Sometimes the examples don't work or it's not complete. I think in regards to completeness, Tickle is very good. But I think what would make a lot of sense for a Tickle documentation to have is, first of all, syntax highlighting for code snippets. And I think maybe, because we do have a, I think at some point we had a an mscripting version of Tickle, maybe even like a try it out button.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that would be a major improvement, even over other languages.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any plans?
Yeah, so syntax highlighting is not difficult if you're using Pandoc, because there are things that in Pandoc you can just throw this in and it will automatically be rendered in color, and this can be configured. It will be a bit harder, I think, when we do it ourselves, but we'll figure that out. That's one thing, of course. And another thing is that you should be able to, like you often see, have a small button. So you have a code example, click, and it's automatically copied into your clipboard, right? And running it directly, it's an interesting thing I don't know how to do it off the top of my head, but I think it should be doable, and it could be a very nice addition, yes. Yeah, good idea.
You're currently using Pandoc Markdown. Does it support include files? Because in TickleLib, I basically have a number of man pages which are assembled from shared text blocks, partially configured with variable C doc tools.
Mm-hmm.
At least with standard Markdown, I believe, this kind of thing would not be possible. Mm.
Yeah. No, Pandoc doesn't include when you are looking at, what you're looking at is probably you have a Markdown file, and at a certain point in the Markdown file it says, here, include another file.
Yeah.
No, that's not possible either. The only thing that you can do is you can break those things up into different files and then call them in the order that you need them to and compose it from
there. Basically, at a meta level, basically say, I want to assemble this file from this block, that, and the other.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that it is impossible to do with Pandoc. You can apply those Pandoc filters. So you make your own special syntax, like a bracketed span, for example, and define that what you want it to be, and then the filter during the production of the rendered version will read that, and the filter will do the job of inserting the stuff there. So it should, in principle, be possible.
I'm a user, a significant user of the doc tools. And the doc tools have one big advantage, certainly, over what you have shown here. It has a semantic markup.
Mm.
It has as a command, it's a variable, it's a constant.
Mm.
You can specify this. If you start from the syntactic level, from the Androff thing, you don't have this. And I think it's really a loss in terms of documentation if you want to make good things. And another thing is also very important from DocTools is this automatic index pages where you can have the keywords put together, you do not look at a single page, but at the whole documentation.
Mm-hmm.
And we use this in various places. I mean, we use this on the Exotickle documentation, or in the NaviServer documentation, and it's a substantial number of pages there, which are all of them are currently written based on the doc tools. Wonderful thing from Andreas. And what does it mean? It's also certainly possible to. I think it doesn't do it now. It's just to produce also Markdown from the doc tools. Shouldn't be too hard to do this. Mm-hmm. And I think one student of us did it some years ago. If somebody has interest in this, I can certainly distribute it back. But I think I'm somewhat missing this semantic markup thing at the first place. And I'm not aware of, but I'm not really searching for this, for Markdown with a semantic Markdown. We can specify it, but I think it's not, it's also from the basic idea, it's more a visual language.
Yeah. So this is an important point, because I was thinking also that it's one of the places where it doesn't look as nice as I would like to have it, because you will then operate with these asterisks, and all of a sudden you have a long line with 15 asterisk and 3 in a row and 2 in a row, and you have to figure out now how does that render now. It would be much nicer to have it in a semantic way, and I'm thinking of some solutions, because you can always define your own kind of new markdown markup. It just needs to be specific enough that it doesn't get confused, and then you can with Pandoc use a filter that detects that piece and then renders it like it is supposed to be. So I'm thinking of ways how to do it, but this will probably not be in the first stage, because the first stage is just getting the job done to convert to markdown, and then we can always operate on the markdown and then look at those lines and automatically change that into something else, or we do it manually when we go through the pages anyway. And indexing is something that I haven't really dived too deep into yet. So I'm open for any ideas how we can make that nice. So if DocTools is something to look into, how they do it, maybe we can steal some nice ideas from them.
Command name, it should be typesetted depending on the style, not on the current markup.
Yeah, yeah.
To say, this is a command, and then I want to specify, let's say, in the HTML world, with a document class or with a CSS class, so that you can more or less do this in detail.
Yeah, yeah.
And specify it one place and get different renderings depending on your style.
I also want to stress this point, the point of semantical markup. Okay, not surprisingly, I'm coming from the XML world, so from the semantic markup world. In fact, I don't want to see this in the first version, no problem. We don't have it at the moment, so it would be important for me that we not took a road that make this impossible. My dream would be to have the documentation or semantic markup in a semantic way and to be able to generate automatically test cases just for the syntax of the command. We should not go in the direction where we then have a situation where this isn't reachable anymore.
What do you mean by test cases?
You have semantic markup and make it type information of the argument types. You can,
if I have a semantic markup of the command syntax, and maybe enriched with type information, typically not so a problem with Tickle, then you can use that semantic description of the command to generate automatically syntax tests.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Also conformance. If you figure out from a test script that this argument has or this command has, from its whatever error message, 20 arguments, and you have only documented 15 of this, you want to figure it out. You have to update your documentation because it's not fitting.
Mm-hmm. You see, the C people want to have header files. Okay, great work. Thank you, Thorsten Berg.